Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning, this preparatory sermon, you will find in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, the verses 1 to 24. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, the verses 1 to 14. The word of the Lord. And it came to pass, as he, that is the Lord Jesus, went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him, and healed him, and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or ox falling into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they choose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher, and then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. And then he also to him that bade him, When thou makest dinner or suppers, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said to him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all went with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs to go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly unto the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Thus far the reading of God's word. Congregation, we will read the first part of the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper to be administered in the midst of the congregation, Lord willing, next week. Page 136. In the back of your psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all these things necessary. First, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ has ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone considered himself, his sins and curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering the wrath of God against sin is so great, that rather that it should go unpunished, he had punished the same in his beloved Son Jesus Christ with a bitter and shameful death on the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he does believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposes henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he had laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and thus firmly resolve henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confine in such enchantments, all despisers of God and his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects and mutiny in the church or state, or perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbor, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive life. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ has ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But it is not designed Dearly beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death, and therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not a perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with dead zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lust of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desires to fight against our unbelief, and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity, which still remaineth against our will in us, can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Thus far the reading of God's word. Congregation, what would you think of someone who prepares to attend a wedding but has not received an invitation? I think good order is it that upon receiving an invitation to a wedding, you then prepare to attend. And so it is with the Lord's Supper, which in Scripture is compared to a wedding feast. The invitation goes out. And therefore, we have been given a time of preparatory, a time of preparation for the Lord's Supper that will be administered, Lord willing, next week in our midst. A congregation, that is a privilege. A week of preparatory. This privilege that in the busyness of your life, whatever the circumstances in your life, or the challenges that you face, or the concerns, that there is a time set aside to reflect on the Lord's Supper, to reflect on Christ, that first, and also to reflect on ourselves, a time of self-examination. Because, as Wilhelmus Abraco reminds us, it will generally be experienced that a blessing is received after having prepared oneself. I repeat, says Abraco, generally. And then he goes on that he says it can be that a godly person can even neglect a time of preparation and yet receive a blessing. Or, he says, that a believer had a blessed time of preparation, looks forward to the Lord's Supper, but returns to his or her seat with sorrow. However, he says, in either case, preparation ought not to be neglected, for it is our duty. The self-examination, consisting of three parts, as we read together. First, that we consider our sins, our misery. Second, as we have read, examine to rest on the faithful promise of God, the forgiveness of sin for Christ's sake. That speaks of deliverance. And in the third place, so we have read together, to examine that your true thankfulness of God in your life, which speaks of gratitude. And congregation, you see here so clearly the unity between confession, the catechism, and sacrament, the Lord's Supper. To be reminded who we are and how we ought to be, and above all, who Christ is. That it is He who instituted this sacrament in remembrance of Him. That it is He who invites. And congregation, that His invitation, also of this morning, of this day, will shape our reflection and preparation for next week. That His invitation and coming with His invitation to you this morning will direct our self-examination. Because congregation, as we have read already in our chapter, text chapter Luke 14, there can be many objections and excuses not to come to the table. Not to be in Christ's presence. Not to be with Him. Who desires to be with His people. As He reminds us, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. Congregation, is that not a reason for joy? Humbling, amazing joy? Despite who you are, He desires to eat with you? A reason to celebrate? As we have read in the opening form of the administration of the Lord's Supper, that we may now celebrate the Supper of the Lord to our comfort, discomfort despite my sin and my shortcomings, which are many, and yet then to read, being received of God in mercy, being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. And that only because you seek your life outside of yourself in Jesus Christ. A refuge in Christ and His finished and complete work. Is that not a reason for joy? In congregation, maybe that is not always what we see when the Lord's Supper is administered in the midst of the congregation. A solemn occasion, for sure. A reverence, as it ought to be. And yet, congregation, there is a reason for joy. Christ's first miracle of His ministry was at the wedding feast. A joyful occasion. It revealed who Christ was and what He came for. A wedding feast that point to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Many shall come, we read in Revelation 19. Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That kingdom of heaven, which is the future of all God's children, where there shall no more hunger, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more sin, no shortcoming, no sin anymore. And on that way to that heavenly feast, passing through life. Yes, by time this valley of Baca, this valley of weeping, this valley of tears, Christ commands His people at the institution of the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. And therefore I want to consider with you this morning, with the help of the Lord, the passage that we read together at Luke 14, the verses 15 to 24, that speaks of the parable of the Great Supper. And the theme for this morning is the blessings of the Lord's Supper. In the first place, a rich provision. And in the second place, it speaks of a gracious invitation. The blessing of the Lord's Supper, a rich provision and a gracious invitation. The text chapter opens with Jesus at a meal at the house of one of the Pharisees on the Sabbath, where he healed one with edema, verse 2. But the verses 7 to 24 speaks about two parables, one of the wedding feast and one of the great supper. And in the verses 7 to 14, which speaks of the parable of the wedding feast, Christ reminds us, when invited, you take the lowest place. And when you invite those who cannot repay you. In verse 13, when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. You shall be blessed, for they cannot recompense you, they cannot repay you. And then said he, and that is verse 16, brings us by the second parable. A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Speaks of the parable of the great banquet, the great supper, of which we read in the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Thus this certain man who made this great supper points to Christ, who provides richly. All things are now ready. And why is it a rich provision of this supper, the Lord's Supper? Congregation, young people, I offer you four considerations. In the first place, consider the host and those invited. The host of this supper, the Lord's Supper next week, is none else than the Lord Christ himself. It is he who has prepared this supper. It is he who has provided for this supper. It is he who invites the guests, you. It is the Lord himself who invites sinners. This one receives sinners and he eats with them. Secondly, consider the cost. It costs us nothing. Nothing that we can bring. It cannot be earned. Does not Isaiah preach in chapter 55? Everyone that does come to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy, eat, ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And yet, it cost God an infinite great price. By nature, congregation, you and I are sinners and have sunk so low in the depths of our misery. And pause for a moment this week. Take time to see your sin as God sees them, as revealed in his word. So that you cry out, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. But also remember that that wrath of God against your sin is so great. And yet, rather than it should go unpunished, he punished the same in his son Jesus Christ with a bitter and shameful death on the cross. Till on the cross as Jesus died. This great cost, where he was bound, so that we might be freed from our sin. Where he was innocently condemned to death, so that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Where he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sin. That he also taken upon himself the curse due to us, so that he might fill us with his blessings. Humbled himself, cried out to God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, "It is finished." Do you see the great price? Congregation, every crumb of bread that we eat next week, every drop of wine that we will drink is more costly than all the riches and wealth in this world. An infinite great price is no less than the blood of his beloved son. A price purchased with the heart's blood of the Son of God. Christ's blood that cleanses of all your sins. That you are reminded this week, God does not owe you anything. And yet he gave everything. His son. This gospel blessing, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. All things that have been prepared in Christ is now ready. And it costs 1,000 times more than you ever will eat or drink at the table of kings and queens and presidents and the wealthy of this world. Thirdly, consider this, that the guests to this feast are freely invited. And so you are freely invited to partake of the Lord's Supper. This gospel blessing, despite the infinite cost of his rich provision, Christ's suffering and death, nothing is required us. It has been freely been prepared. It must freely be received. You can pay for it. Any price is insufficient. Any effort from your side falls short and fails. Congregation, for an earthly wedding, you may prepare to look at your best, but not so for this wedding feast, the Lord's Supper. You only can come as you are. If any man thirst, let him come and drink. And the Spirit and the bride said, "Come." And let him hear say, "Come." And let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It is an invitation without condition. than to accept, to sit down at the table, and to eat and drink. The Lord invites everyone freely. Does not wisdom says in Proverbs 9, the Lord himself, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mingled? Oh, this rich provision the Lord has made nourishes and strengthens and refreshes the soul as the food does to the body. Christ, as applied by word and spirit, is the only nourishment of the soul. The grace and the mercy of Christ gives life and strength. It is only Christ who is the bread of life. He is the water of life. And coming to him and his table, with his rich provision, he gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases their strength. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In the fourth place, consider this. The excellencies of Christ. The great benefits he offers. What he has done. And still does what you never and can and could do. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they shall live. He makes dead sinners alive. There is room with him. Behold, there is a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock, and the rock is Christ. If there is one in our midst that used to say, if I perish, I perish. And he provides life. For those in our midst this week, afflicted, tossed with tempers and not comforted, behold, says the Lord, I will lay thy stones with fire colors and lay thy foundation with sapphires. For blind ones who cries out this week in preparation, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. For the Syrophoenician woman who says, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs. It's fall from the master's table. And then he said to her, maybe it is you. O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. The storms of life, maybe this week, you call to the Lord, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said, why are you so fearful? For one maybe in our midst, prodigal and backsliding, one who has to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. See then the great provision of this Father. This Father sees him, even when he was far off. This Father has compassion. This Father comes to him, ran, fell on his head, kissed him. This Father testified, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Congregation, prodigal sons and daughters are welcomed by Christ. Beggars are filled. He filled the hungry with good things, so sings Mary. And if you have any doubts this week, like John the Baptist in prison, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor. The gospel is preached. Do you see the excellencies, the great benefits of Christ? That it is he who provides abundantly and richly for every need. Every need of yours. As you will feel many infirmities and miseries in yourself. So many shortcomings and sin, not in others, but in yourself. As you have not a perfect faith, the doubts at times and the struggles of faith, and you remember there were other times in your life. As you do not give yourself to serve God with that zeal as you are bound. Times in the past that you said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And now? As you have daily to strive with the weakness of your faith and the evil lust of the flesh. Cybersex, internet porno, whatever lust of the flesh, you are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for those weaknesses and earnestly desires to fight against it and to live according to all the commandments of God, and yet you fall time and again to experience the truth of the words of the apostle, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver you? Oh, take refuge in Christ. Here is a willing, here is an able Savior, here is a complete Savior. He invites to come to him. And for Christ's sake, rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remains against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink, to come to his table. This invitation, for as often you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby as a sure remembrance and pledge be admonished and be assured of his hearty love and faithfulness towards you. His love. Despite times of coldness to him, despite your unfaithfulness, as often you eat and drink, be assured of his hearty love and faithfulness towards you. Come, all things are now ready. To be reminded, to be assured, to be comforted for Christ's sake, that your warfare is accomplished, that your iniquity is pardoned, and that you have received of the Lord's hand double for all your sins. Is that not a reason for joy? For gratitude, for thankfulness, that you will say in the day, O Lord, I will praise thee, for thou wast angry with me, But thou anger is turned away, and thou have comforted me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation, and therefore with joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. This unspeakable, abundantly rich provision in Christ. To whom else shall you then go? A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come." The Great Supper that speaks of the blessings of the Lord's Supper, the rich provision in Christ, and in the second place, the gracious invitation. This man, this king, as we read it in Matthew 22, Christ, the host of the table of this supper, graciously invites. He invites this morning the entire congregation. No one accepted. Come. You read in verse 17. But they all alike begin to make excuses. Lawful excuses. I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Little excuses. I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Excuses. How long have you made excuses of not coming to the table? How many years? How many years you have heard the gospel preaching from this pulpit? Have heard the gracious invitation by Christ himself, come. But you have not come. Yet, you are now invited. You do not know when Christ will stop to invite you. Now is the door of grace wide open. But if you stay much longer, the door will be shut. And you don't know how soon. That a time will come that you will say, "Lord, Lord, open us." But nobody will open the door for you. Remember what Christ says in verse 24, if you refuse to come, excuse yourself from this his gracious invitation. Verse 24, that none of those men were bidden, invited, shall taste of my supper. Does it move you at all what provisions the Lord Christ himself have made for such one as you are? Have you no heart to accept this undeserved yet so gracious and good invitation? Remember, the invitation is now for this week. Come, whoever you are. Come, all things are now ready. Come unto me is the gracious invitation of Christ himself. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and you will find rest for your soul. Come to his table and taste and see that the Lord is gracious and good. Come and be clothed with Christ and his righteousness. If you clothe yourself with your own righteousness and your own conditions to come to the table, your own reasons of not coming to the table, you will not stand in the day of judgment when you are not washed in the blood of Christ. When God will ask you, what have you done with my son? Today then, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Come. It is not too late. Worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord your Maker. See how great his grace is when the messages of this good and gospel news came to their Lord, having been rejected by those who answered the invitation. I pray thee, have me excused. It doesn't stop the men to invite again the second time. Go out quickly to the streets, the lanes of the city, and bring them in hither, the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Come is the invitation, go is the command, bring in the needy, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Those that do not have anything cannot repay. Bring them to the table, to the Lord himself. Those, they will experience, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And yet, there is a room. See the great patience and willingness of the Lord, extending the invitation for the third time. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Compel them. It's the great urgency also for this new week. This invitation of Christ himself to come to his table, to seek your life outside of yourself in Christ, is a gracious, is a good, is a friendly, is a well-meant invitation. Congregation, seeing such a rich provision in Christ for sinners, seeing such a gracious invitation, can the Lord not say of this our congregation, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Grand Rapids, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen does gather a brood under her wings, and you would not? Come then, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they shall be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. O seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Forsake your wicked ways. And return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon you. To our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Come then, and rest well, and have communion with Christ, and fellowship with one another. This is the privilege of a preparatory week. A privilege to pause for a moment in your life and to reflect on Christ, yourself, a time of self-examination. Congregation, self-examination does not rest till it finds rest in Christ. Self-examination appeals to the highest court of heaven and says with Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee because he loved you first. As Abraco urges, consider for a moment the sweet and friendly invitation of the Lord Jesus himself. He has no need of you. He could have passed you by and invited others. But now, he says to you, this morning, come, for all things are ready. And Brakel goes on, this invitation accompanied with so many sweet motives. Yes, in his name he beseeches you that you would come to him, since he calls you and invites you in such a friendly manner to have fellowship with him. Would you then walk away or stay in the pew and not come? Oh, pray and say and sing with the psalmist then, in sweet communion, Lord, with thee, and constantly abide. 'Tis good his face to seek, my refuge. The only refuge is the living God. Come, for all things are now ready. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, will bless thy word to each of us. Use thy own word, this gracious invitation, seeing the rich provision in Christ for poor sinners, that we receive a blessing for this new week and that our lives are directed to thee. To come as a beggar, nothing that we can bring to the table next week, and to seek our life in Christ and him alone. Lord, remember the entire congregation, the youngest to the oldest, that it might be a good and blessed week, and a good and blessed time of fellowship around the table of the Lord next week. And we pray these things in the forgiveness of our sins, the shortcomings in speaking, and in listening, but for Christ's sake alone. Amen.